Welcome to Shanahan on Literacy, the site where we believe there is nothing more noble than to teach a child to read. My name's Tim Shanahan. I'm your host. And the ideas that are shared here, the opinions that are shared here, are mine and nobody else's. This week, we're going to talk about choral reading. Is it a good idea or not? I received an email from a teacher who says, I know you advocate fluency instruction, and I do, but what do you think of choral reading? I love to do that with my second graders, and they have a lot of fun with it. We usually follow Tim Rosinski's advice and do choral reading with poetry. Do you think that satisfies the fluency teaching requirements? And here's my response. I must admit that I'm not a big fan of choral reading. Though to be fair, this is not a research-based opinion. There simply are too few studies of choral reading on which to base a sound judgment. First, my objections, and then we'll get to a consideration of the research evidence. My concern is really pretty simple. In observing classrooms, which I've done a lot of over the years, I often notice that many kids don't really participate. Oh, they move their lips a bit behind the rest of the class, but they're not necessarily even looking at the words. I suspect that often they're reading in the same way many people at a baseball game sing the national anthem. They look like they're participating without really singing. Fluency instruction, well, any instruction, only can pay off to the extent that the students engage in the process. I prefer approaches like paired reading with teacher supervision because each individual student needs to make a commitment to the text. If they don't read a word, it doesn't get read, and there can be some instructional response. With choral reading, in contrast, kids can hide out a bit, which likely reduces their learning. I went looking for studies of choral reading, and there are a few, but none that look specifically at this part of the fluency regimen. In every study, they combine choral reading with repeated reading, and then there's no way to sort out their effects. There are studies of repeated reading showing its effectiveness, but there are none that isolate choral reading in that way. For example, in a study with middle schoolers, Landreth and Chase found that 10 minutes of daily oral reading fluency practice outdistanced a comparable amount of time devoted to independent reading. That fluency practice raised reading achievement. They had a five-day routine with choral reading being one of the items in the routine, but it also included repeated reading. In a study of intermediate grade students with learning problems, it was found that oral reading fluency instruction, which included choral reading, was successful in improving both fluency and comprehension of these students. There are some studies of reading while listening, but some of those studies might be choral reading studies. However, it's possible to read silently while listening or to focus more on trying to follow the teacher, the one being listened to, more than trying to stay with the group. My concerns wouldn't prescribe choral reading altogether. I suspect in some classrooms, choral reading might be used for a first run-through of a text. I cannot say I have any problem with that. I bet that at least with some texts, that might even be more efficient than just starting out having everyone trying to read the text alone. You mentioned that it can be fun for the kids. Probably my favorite examples of choral reading are more choral singing, in which the teacher provides the kids the song text. Part of your question noted that you focus choral reading on poetry. And again, admittedly, that can be entertaining. Nothing wrong with kids enjoying their work. Nevertheless, as much as I think it appropriate to practice fluency with poetry and verse, I fear that an important idea gets lost when that's the focus. Students need to learn to read a great variety of texts, including stories, social studies articles, and science books. They need to develop a sense of how to read those kinds of texts fluently, and that's best developed by working with those kinds of texts. There are many differences in the syntactic features that are included in those texts, and I want to be sure that kids get to try to negotiate those, including poetry. It's very reasonable to do some work with poems, maybe even start there, since reading such texts aloud is a kind of authentic public performance. Attend a poetry slam sometime. but it's also sound practice to segue from this to guiding students to read the kinds of texts that will matter in their education. So getting them to do this kind of practice with a science book or a social studies book really makes a lot of sense. The National Reading Panel reported that students benefited from reading texts aloud repeatedly with guidance and feedback. Later work concluded that this is most beneficial with texts beyond the students' instructional levels. There's just not much benefit from practicing a text that you can already read well. The studies the national panel considered did not use choral reading, and I know of no studies conducted in the past 2 decades that have evaluated its effectiveness. Clearly, choral reading matches the NRP guidance. With choral reading, students are reading texts aloud and usually with repetition, though the feedback is tough to provide because of the problem of discerning what everyone is up to. Accordingly, I would not discourage the use of choral reading occasionally, just as I wouldn't tell you not to include poetry and song in your fluency instruction. The trick, I think, to making this work best for raising reading achievement is to make sure that kids are still getting plenty of opportunity to engage in individual reading that can be observed and supported, and plenty of opportunity to figure out how to read narrative and expository text fluently, too. My friend David Page provides some useful guidance for how to make use of choral reading in the classroom. He suggests that you use passages of 200 to 250 words in length and to provide countdowns, you know, like 3, 2, 1, you know, blast off to get everyone started at the same time. He recommends that teachers circulate during this reading to try to hear mistakes and other difficulties. Personally, I find that hard to do with 25 voices going at once. He also suggests that these sessions incorporate both teacher modeling and some direct instruction of words that are problematic. And I certainly agree with that advice, even with things like repeated reading. Personally, choral reading would be a very occasional activity or one with a very specific purpose, such as starting kids off with a new passage. Nevertheless, it has been part of several fluency interventions that have been successful. The researchers in those studies can't say that its inclusion was essential, but I certainly can't say that it wasn't. And that'll be my final word on choral reading. If you're interested in having a written copy of this, please go to the Shanahan on Literacy website. This blog is labeled Choral Reading, Good Idea or Not, and it will post on June 8th, 2024, and it should be there in perpetuity if you want to come back later and take a look at that. A lot of times people don't necessarily want a written copy, but they want to get the research references that are in, and this one has 7. And so if you want those, you can go to the Shanahan on Literacy site. With that, I want to thank Greg Johnson, our sound engineer extraordinaire. And I'd like to thank you folks for tuning in. I look forward to seeing you up the road a piece.